female masturbation. You know you need to do it. You know you want it. Welcome to the Freddie and Eddie podcast from behind our white picket fence. I am Ian Dinchasey, a.k.a. Freddie, joined by the sexiest woman in the world, Alicia Lum Dinchasey.
Good morning, everyone.
And this week, we return from a long hiatus at Burning Man, and we have probably our most special guest to date, Miss Jamie Waxman, author of, Alicia?
Getting Off, or it's actually A Woman's Guide to Masturbation, Getting Off.
Welcome, Jamie, to our podcast.
Thank you, Ian. Yay. And Alicia. You know, I was going to say for a second, I was really offended because I might be the sexiest woman alive. I don't know. But then you said most special guest to date, so you kind of negated the fact that maybe I'm not the sexiest woman alive in your eyes.
Well, unless you're Asian and look just like Alicia, you're definitely, in my eyes, not the sexiest woman alive. So how about the second sexiest woman alive?
That's great. And it's, you know, I'll take it.
And by the way,
but I don't believe you.
For those listening, Jamie actually is a very sexy woman.
And you exude sexuality, my dear.
Despite the fact she stands on a scale in our house and tries to convince herself she's not.
Shut up, Ian. And this is the personal stuff.
We do go there, Jamie. We do go there.
Well, it's funny. I actually said to someone not too long ago, I don't know if I feel very feminine. And then, and this was a very like, you know, born around horses sort of woman who like really didn't identifies as, you know, you can identify anyway, masculine, feminine, whatever, but identifies pretty masculinely. And she was watching me walk and she tapped me on the shoulder and said, really? The way you walk? You're all female. Don't ever question that again. But you know, I have my masculine side too.
Well, before we get into our topic, which is female masturbation, of which Jamie is an expert in the subject and a big fan, I just want to share a little bit about our trip to Burning Man. And for those of you who don't know what Burning Man is, Alicia, explain what Burning Man is.
We all, I think, have a different view of it. But it is a wonderful community that grows out of basically nothing in the middle of the desert on the playa. And it
Where?
Brings out, it's about 2 hours east of Reno, Nevada. So, and it's on a salt plain. It's a dry lake bed. And, you know, it creates this community that we're not used to. So it's where just communication, just commune, the whole thing about there's no money exchange except for a couple different things like coffee and ice that actually the money goes back into for women's health and for underprivileged children and so on back in Nevada. But the whole thing is it's an art festival for one thing. I look at it because they have amazing art, amazing music, which we all love. The whole thing about being in the dark and really relying on each other and yourself as an independent person, but yet being able to showcase and bring forth, I think, some really ingenious way of kind of showcasing how one can feel in humanity.
And Jamie, you were there also, so what's your take on Burning Man?
And you were there, and you were there,
and
you were
and
there.
And you,
you know, it's, I think if I could sum it up in the fewest words possible, it's Mad Max meets, I don't like Disneyland per se, but Disneyland for adults meets radical self-reliance. I don't know, it's just the best place in the world for a short time. It's a reality that feels like a fantasy.
Ooh,
it's
good.
Funny because I think it's more of a fantasy that feels like a reality. But I'm bringing this up because I still haven't quite come down from the playa yet.
Me neither.
I'm unfortunately this year is hanging on much more than years past. So I sum it up as the way the world should be, where a community comes together with the sole purpose of giving. What can you give to the community? Of course, the Republicans would call that, what, socialism, fascism, and all of the above. But I view it as a chance for all of us to sort of let our guard down, be who we really are, and focus more on the positive aspects of life. And I'm having a lot of trouble coming back down off of that this time around. But the real world does intrude upon these fantasies, so here we are.
But, you know, I just want to say one thing, bringing it back to probably more of the topic on hand. It is, you know, partially a fantasy because you do go somewhere for a week that doesn't is not how you base the other 51 years of your life, perhaps. But there's some real reality in there, too. And I think one of the things that you learn is this, like, idea of, like, looking at people with love versus looking at people with disdain or with, you know, questioning their intentions. Like, there you really try and see the best in everyone. And I don't know, that's, I feel like, how we should live our lives, not just with other people, but with ourselves.
Oh, I believe me, I could not agree with you more. And I probably had my original.
Yeah,
but I think that that is actually the most real place in the world for 1 week.
And
I just, I wish that the other 52 weeks were that real.
Right.
Where
I mean,
we were being where we are that way.
When you're saying about fantasy and so on, it is kind of because we really get out of our normal skin and that of what we should wear, how we should look, and so on. But yet you can be out there and you can be a little kid kind of just like be free. So you can wear, you know, we always kid. Ian always gets teased because he always wears a sarong, even in, you know, he'll be in the middle of Culver City of the business, you know, area, and he's wearing a sarong. But yet out there you could be wearing a tutu, you could be wearing, you know, and it's
wearing
just
nothing.
Yeah, wearing nothing, but just the fun part of it. And but at the same time, it's like getting in touch with who you really are and how you really feel with your partner, with everybody out there.
With
and
yourself.
The new people.
Yeah, with yourself.
And that's it.
Well, let's turn it back to the topic on hand. Jamie, you wrote a book which we both loved. And
thank you.
On our website, we run into countless women, our own example of which my wife, until about 10 years ago, had never masturbated in her entire life. And
it's something that is kind of actually the norm, I find, you know, meeting with a lot of women in today's age of, you know, it's kind of crazy, you know.
Well, it's, that, you know, I don't know. I feel like that's, it's not crazy and it's very normal. Like, even for me, the first time I really masturbated, really, I mean, spent any time doing it, I was 21. And I had been in a relationship, but I had been separated from the partner. So I was thinking, well, if I'm not sure if I've had an orgasm, but I know I have fun having sex, like maybe I'll just check out what it's like to be by myself. And the truth is, I was listening to Howard Stern, who was talking about vibrators, and it sparked my interest. But I think for a lot of us, when we are connected to relationships with other people for so much of our lives, we forget about needing the time to understand ourselves because we want our partners to understand us. And then when they make us feel good, we feel good instead of taking matters into our own hands. So it's very common to me to think that people who go into relationships and spend a lot of time with partners don't masturbate as much. That makes complete sense. But I think what's really exciting about the message of masturbation is it doesn't matter when you start doing it. If you feel like you can start doing it and you give yourself permission to do it, there's so much you'll discover that you can't discover with somebody else, because whether it's that, you know, you don't know how to communicate it to them, you don't even know this area exists for you, you don't know what it feels like beforehand. Like, there's so many great places you can go with masturbation, regardless of when you go there. It's always great to be able to take care of your own needs outside,
well,
and inside of sex.
Couldn't agree more, but I'll just explain to you our situation. We were together for 10 years, and I've told this story before on our podcast, but I'll just refresh our listeners' memories, is that after we had our kid and our sex life dropped and we were trying to spark things back up, we tried a vibrator for the first time, and Alicia actually experienced her first orgasm after 10 years of marriage. So she had never actually orgasmed with me. It wasn't that we didn't have great sex. We did. But it took her a while to get over that hump. So what I set about to do as her husband was to encourage her to explore herself more, because I sort of clued in that how can you be really sexually fulfilled if you don't know your own body? And males start masturbating when we're about 12. So we have a lifetime of this experience, whereas, you know, I was kind of shocked to find out Alicia had never touched herself one time in her whole life. And I just found that she needed to sort of get in touch with herself, for lack of a better phrase. So now I used to actually say, okay, go lock yourself in the bedroom. I got the kid monitored and I'll go turn the TV up so you can have some time to yourself. And I'm not going to make love to you tonight because I want you to just learn and get yourself off. And so that process, I think, led to a very much more fulfilling sex life for me, because she would come out and be like, no, touch me there, do it this way. So
I think that's a great message for you to share with a lot of, I think, a lot of men out there who feel,
I think, a lot are threatened by it.
Yes,
you know?
Threatened, intimidated. You know, if she can't get off with me, then there's something wrong, as opposed to let's explore ways to, like, get to places that we haven't gone before. I mean, I was in a relationship I was sexually active, having intercourse from 15 to 21 before I had an orgasm. And I had fulfilling sex too. I mean, I definitely don't remember ever thinking, well, this isn't good enough. Like, what's, and I remember even thinking, have I had an orgasm? Only to realize once I did that knowing was knowing. Really.
Well, do you think is it true that if you have to question whether you've had one or not, you haven't?
I think 9 times out of 10 it's true. I can't say it's true for everyone, because you can be riding on a horse or whatever in a car and have experience an orgasm and not know what it is. But yeah, I think you are pretty certain that first time you have an orgasm, of the contractions and the feeling and the intensity that you may have gotten even a little bit too. But I think if you're questioning it, then you should keep practicing.
Exactly.
You should keep practicing anyway.
But to go back a little bit, when I said that it was crazy, and it's a little different, like, we're in a totally different, between even Jamie and myself, we're, you know, 10 years apart. So generational wise, there's a whole bunch of different things. Now, growing up in the 80s and being, it can be, when I say crazy, because the people and the customers that come to us, whether via in our store, our retail store, or our website, they're on average in their late 30s and early 40s, talking about masturbation, never doing it, never having an orgasm, what should they do, so on, so on. And so we go through this where it says that, you know, the first thing is for them to feel comfortable with themselves, you know, because they think something's wrong. You know what I mean? So they think that, what's wrong with me? Because I don't think I've ever had an orgasm, and I've never touched myself. I go, well, let me explain to you, just from
bad
my
point of view.
You know what? Whether it's generational, whether it's cultural, my culture being Chinese, hello, no, my mom never talked to me about the birds and bees and about the body and that, you know, to please yourself. I was brought up to please my partner. And if he came, that means I was good.
How did your mom teach you that lesson?
I know, huh? No, just, you know, just everything about, you know, cooking for this person, cleaning for this person.
I'd like to know. I'm still waiting for her to exercise
good
that lesson.
Mommy teaching daughter how to please partner.
Yeah, it's like, huh. So, and I'm sure that my mom never, in her entire life, has never pleased herself.
I can with 100% certainty say your mother has never pleasured herself.
That's right, because she never knew how to.
So before we go down the road of Alicia's mom and her sex life,
like, let's not go down that road,
please. You brought up, there's so many points here that you brought up, like the masturbation guys. They have outies and women have innies, and so it's a lot easier. You know, my brother would masturbate on the couch, and I would tell on him, Mom, he's doing that thing again. And then I would try and copy what he was doing, but I couldn't copy it because I didn't understand my own basic anatomy. I mean, the clitoris is just not talked about. And then, you know, with women saying, Alicia, you saying, with women saying, what's wrong with me? The thing is, the brain's the most powerful sex organ. So if you're immediately going up here with what's wrong with me, nothing else is going to function properly. It's got to be coming from this place of, I want to understand myself better. And I think that's, like, for me, when I talk to women about masturbation, it's the first thing I have to get through their heads is, we got to stop thinking while we do it, almost. We got to just let ourselves experience and feel the sensations, and then from there go on.
Well, one thing that you just mentioned, which was that we have an outie. Also, at 12 and 13, I think that the male sex drive is much more intense than the female at that point of development, where the the male body through thousands or millions of years of evolution is pretty much ready to start spreading that seed. So it's very you're very powerfully driven. I mean, you get erections constantly. I mean, heck, you even have a wet dream as males when you're, you know, 11 or 12 and you don't really know what's going on. That's how powerful the body is preparing you to expel. So, you know, whereas women, it's a little bit more vague. I mean, you know, you're more the receiving vessel. So your body is not really gearing up for pleasure at that point. Your body's gearing up more for the receiving of that birth, of that seed to get a body growing inside you. So I think that it tends to develop a lot later. Whereas, as Alicia mentioned, in our business, I mean, we get women who are just sexually awakening in their 40s.
Yay.
They might be postmenopausal or even in their mid-30s where they've had these horrible lovers or they haven't, you know, they've had a lot of pressure laid on them about sex is bad or you shouldn't touch yourself or all of these various things. And suddenly they go, well, that's bullshit and I want to discover pleasure. And they go out and they get themselves a vibrator and they don't really know what to do.
Well, I also think that, don't forget, I think that society also accepts that men or boys, it's totally acceptable and expected that boys at 14 or whatever, 12, 13, should be masturbating because that's going to make you a man.
That,
and so it's okay. You're doing
I would
that.
Argue
but
that
women,
religion tells you not to.
Well,
but.
No, but I okay, I agree with that. But I think that it is much more acceptable in this society that boys start masturbating early on, where it's unacceptable for women to touch themselves. Because, you know, and then you can bring that back to even religion about don't touch yourself because, you know, that's a bad thing. For all the old fables and the horrible, you know, psycho, you know, analysis, I guess, about the whole thing about, you're not going to get a good man if you masturbate or, you know, you shouldn't touch yourself because it's not right. Good women don't do that. And I hear it all the time. I was never allowed to touch myself.
Well, that goes back to, I mean, I don't 100% agree with the statement that it's okay for guys to masturbate, not girls. Just from the historical religious perspective, it's everyone can't masturbate.
Right.
You know, don't touch yourself. You're ruining yourself for missionary sex, which was the only type of sex that was acceptable where he is on top. But I do think that you hit a point where you also said earlier in your culture, it's about pleasing the partner. Well, that's not just your culture. That's, you know, if you actually sat and said, well, what define feminine? One of the first things that comes to my mind is pleasing others, martyr syndrome. You know, like it's like the feminine sort of identity. And I don't think this is, I'm totally generalizing here, but the feminine identity is of pleasing and not being, it's just how we associate it in almost all cultural. And I think that for some people, the idea of a powerful female, whether it's because she has her sexuality at bay or because she has her career and she's in charge of whatever it is, it's still a very hard idea for a lot of other people to digest.
Hey, women were burned at one time, you know, and still, if you exercise any sort of female power in certain countries today, you are stoned to death or, you know, or persecuted or arrested. I mean, it's horrible. But let's get on to a positive thing.
Happy.
And we're going to take a little break and we're going to come back. And Jamie's going to give us a few very cool tips for the squeamish, uninitiated, and expert alike on Behind the White Picket Fence, our Freddie and Eddie podcast. We'll see you in a second. And we're back from behind our white picket fence, the Freddie and Eddie podcast, each week bringing you the sexual information you need to know, and we need to know, in fact. So with us today is Jamie Waxman, one of our favorite sex educators and just knowledgeable people all around. So Jamie, let's talk a little bit about your book. Why did you write it? And what can we expect from it?
Well, I wrote the book because I had my own journey as a sex educator and just as a person going through my own sexuality regarding orgasm and masturbation. And I had a few years back now, well, like 6-7 years back, I masturbated on video for Betty Dodson.
You did?
Yeah.
Wow. Where can I find that?
Anyway, I masturbated on video for her. If you do little bits of research, you probably will find it.
You're not Asian, but I still think I need to see that.
And when it was done, I had written myself a little note in a journal that said, write a new book on masturbation, not reinventing the wheel, but just a 20-something-year-old girl's perspective on my own journey and the journey of other women out there. And so a few years later, the book manifested itself, thanks to the help of some friends like Audacia Ray. And I just felt like I could give a new voice to an old topic. So that's where the book came from. But, you know, why else I wrote it was just to sort of normalize the idea that masturbation is something we should all, you know, can take matters into our own hands. And
yeah, that pardon the pun.
Ba-dum-bum. And that's really, really important. And that I wanted to just sort of have a friendly conversation about the topic and also give a little historical perspective. There's a lot of history in the book. My favorite chapter is on fantasy, actually, which just kind of says, look, there are so many avenues. I don't fantasize that much when I masturbate. What I think about when I masturbate is like a specific sex act or a person or nothing at all. But I wanted to say that's okay, but also show that there's lots of other ways. And I pick out certain songs that are about female masturbation. A fantastic, fantastic movie that shows the power of female masturbation, Pleasantville. There is a scene in that movie where Joan Allen goes into a bathtub after Reese Witherspoon talks to her about what the kids do at Lover's Lane, mm-hmm. and she touches herself for the first time, and the black and white world explodes in flame. The tree in front of their house goes up in fire, and the world changes because Joan Allen masturbates.
I've seen that scene. That's it right. is absolutely fantastic.
And so, the book reminded me of things like that. And then, of course, the first half of the book is all tips and techniques. We talk about the clitoris is not just the head of the shaft. You have that is not just the head. You have a shaft. You have legs. You can touch all over yourself. And I do a whole section on orgasms, which I have this really intense discussion with Rebecca Chalker afterwards, who wrote a fantastic book on the clitoris called The Clitoral Truth. And she and I had this whole discussion on are all orgasms clitoral, and you know, made me start to question my own idea of what an orgasm was. So the book led me to other discussions, and it talks about the A spot and the G spot, and do spots really matter, and female ejaculation, and where to masturbate and how you can set your mind at ease and other people's tips and techniques for masturbation. So it's just like, oh my God, if you want to know about masturbation, female masturbation, or you just want to have some great party information, you've got it in this book.
And you also discuss products that people can get to assist with masturbation.
Yeah, whole chapters on vibrators and sex toys and dildos and lubes.
You know, I have to say, we really should get a little bit of video and with these new podcasting, because you have to see the, you know, the energy that's coming out of Jamie right now. She's explaining this. She's so excited about this because it's just needed. And it's wonderful to be able to get this and all the tips, and because we're all different as women. So it's just nice to see that you've gathered all this wonderful information and you're able to just give little tidbits so that we all can, like, learn and, like,
well,
you know.
Alicia, what do you think about when you masturbate?
See, I really, you know what, to get me off to do the masturbation, I have to, because it's a job almost now, you know, for us, it is, to the certain point. And so, like, as Ian said beforehand, to get my mind into the mode, he had to separate the rest of the world.
That's very important for a lot of people.
Put the kid way over to the side, whatever, over to the side.
Brain's the most powerful
sex organ.
Have
him do his Lego in his room. Ian's watching TV or doing something else. And so, you know, and I'm just myself. Now, I'm a visual person. So for me to get kind of in the mood, and I don't really fantasize. Actually, we've discussed this before. It's like, what do you fantasize? I'm like, I don't think I fantasize anything. I have to visually see something, so usually I pop on porn or something like that just to get my mind focused. Okay, we're talking about sexuality, or get my mind and my body tuned into that. And then, or reading. I love erotica. So that gets my mind. So
does Ian ever read it to you while you
masturbate? He does. Well, actually,
that's a good idea.
Yeah, I read it too.
We have done that because, you know, when we masturbate together, which some people think is kind of weird too. And I'm like, no.
No, and I actually have a great position for mutual masturbation where he's lying on the floor and his back is on, you know, the floor. So he's just lying straight down, and now you might not get off this way as quickly, but it's not necessarily only about the orgasm. So she's on all fours on top of him with, like, it's like 69, except she's more in like a tabletop. You can see everything that's going on right in front of his face, and she can just look down and see him stroking, different strokes for different folks. And then when one person's done, you kind of roll over, figure out how, if she's not done first, how she wants to finish, and he just cheers her on. So there's no actual touching
I think that's great foreplay. I think it's fantastic. It's fun like that.
And you reminded me, too, a really important tip for me when I masturbate, Kegel exercises have changed my life as a woman and as an orgasmic woman, the way I feel my orgasms. Mm-hmm. By practicing my pubococcygeus pelvic floor muscle exercises.
Oh, that's a mouthful
it's
there.
It's the only – I have to do them while I masturbate.
Really?
And it strengthens everything. And it feels awesome. And for no other reason, like for vanity, I masturbate. Because have you ever seen Betty Dodson? She's 80 years old. She doesn't look a day over 65. Orgasms keep you looking younger. Right. No doubt about it.
You know, Jaya on an earlier podcast made reference to that it's like the fountain of youth. Just keep having orgasms. The more orgasms, the younger you'll look and the longer you'll live.
So true. It's so true. So for no other reason but vanity, just masturbate.
Well, I tell you, I'd have a hard time in that position you just described because I would just have to roll her over and do her right there.
Well,
I would
just... you know what? That's why you have two orgasms.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, there you go.
Get to do it in the end if you want to. There's no stopping. But just like, and I think for women too, once you have that first orgasm, you're a lot more sensitive. Sometimes we need a little bit of like back off time, you know?
Right.
But I think we're more open to that second orgasm or that third orgasm. And especially, you know, most women need clitoral stimulation to get off. So after that first orgasm that is focused mostly maybe on our clitoris or whatever, the first one third of the vagina, uber sensitive. So when you go in that first time, it feels even more sensitive because we're already open and more sensitive. And so I think it's much easier to have more internalized orgasms if that's what you're looking for, or more internalized feelings with your orgasms after that first one.
Well, definitely. Well, the other night we smoked some particularly strong pot. I won't say where it came from, Jamie, but boy. So we mutually masturbated. We masturbated together, even though we could have had sex. I don't know why we went that direction. But after I had this wonderful like hour laying in bed of just tripping out and philosophizing Burning Man and everything else, Alicia finally came in. And I was like, oh, let's masturbate
real time together.
And we didn't have sex. We decided to masturbate.
But that is sex. See, that's where we...
Not according to Bill Clinton. Come on. That's not sex.
Well, nothing is sex according to Bill Clinton unless, you know, you're attached penile vaginally, I assume, but
right.
Or penile buttly.
but sometimes it actually can be more intense than than
it
intercourse.
Just depends your... frame of mind.
And you're kind of vulnerable also when you're doing it, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, wow, she's seeing me doing something that I was almost like dirty and hidden when I was younger, you know?
And that's also why I think there are especially more guys than girls, but there are certain masturbation. A lot of guys masturbate really fast and really hard, and some even like lying on their bellies, rubbing. But that's because you didn't want to get caught when you were doing it.
And right.
Women too, if they were. I mean, I've met and talked to a lot of women who discovered themselves at a young age. It's not that all women don't discover themselves, but those that do also, you know, have like their own style, and a lot of them are on the belly or with hairbrushes. There are so many different techniques. In fact, when I masturbated for Betty Dodson and then went and watched the video, I was like, man, I'm boring. And that's okay. I'm happy being boring because I'm happy. But and I'm not that boring really in other parts of my life. But when it comes to my masturbation style, I'm pretty boring compared to some of the stuff on this video.
And where is that video again?
It's out there. I mean, you can buy it. Huh? It's for sale.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You're on a for sale video masturbating.
And I get caned in another video, but that's not this topic.
Oh, I know where you get caned, actually.
Yeah, so that's
that one I've seen. So, all right. So let's say I'm a housewife in the Midwest, and I'm coming out of menopause. What's the best way to get started?
Housewife in the Midwest, you're just coming out of menopause, and the best way to get started, you've never had an orgasm, or?
I don't know if I've ever had an orgasm or not.
Okay, well, I think one of the things that you should definitely do is get some lube, because if it doesn't feel good once you start, then you're going to wonder why it doesn't feel good, and especially postmenopausal, you may need some lube. Different times of our lives, we need lube. So
silicone, yeah. Water-based.
I would blend. Actually suggest in this situation to get a silicone and to take it into the bathtub with you. Even run the water under the bathtub and have a waterproof vibrator as well, so you have a lot of elements, but you're closing yourself off in a room. Maybe light some candles if that feels sensual to you. You're going to need some alone time, especially if this is something you're just starting. So take a bath or do it in the shower the first time where you feel like you have some privacy and you don't have to worry about noise and all of that kind of stuff if you live in a house.
So privacy, candles, lube.
Yeah, and the candles are, you know, I don't want to make a big deal where it's like you have to set the room. Like, it's great if you want to set the room up, but you don't have to set the room up to masturbate. Like, you just have to feel like you're in a safe space. So the bathroom is a safe space because you can lock the door, you can put on some water.
No,
you know,
the
bedroom's a safe
calls.
Space if you can lock the door and put on some music, but if you have other family members around, the bathroom is still, like, probably your safest space. Some silicone lube so that you can use it on yourself. Free your mind. Music. Whatever it needs to take to free that mind, because if you are thinking about what you need to do after you may have or may not have an orgasm, you are not going to ever have that focus on the orgasm.
That is correct. I agree.
So free your mind. Give yourself permission to not have an orgasm. Just give yourself permission to feel what you're feeling, whether that means that, like, it just feels good, it feels okay. Feel what you're feeling. That's all. Like, when I am in a relationship and getting sexual with myself or someone else, I don't care if I get off. What I want to do is feel good doing it. So I want to feel places where I like to touch. Experiment with what that means. It could be, you know, directly on the head of the clitoris can be really hard for people at first. It's super sensitive, 6,000 to 8,000 nerve endings. So it's really sensitive there. So start to the left or to the right, or start by just taking your hand and paintbrushing it, like, up and down the entire vulva, even stopping below the clitoris, so that you're just sort of starting to build up the tease. You need to give yourself permission to tease yourself and to let it, to see where that goes. Maybe you want to insert a finger inside the vagina or something as well, just, like, very slightly.
Huh. Okay. Now, let's say I'm a woman who's masturbated her whole life. Do you have any information that you could offer me then?
Yeah, well, I think it's great to try new things. So, you
like
know,
I've tried tons of
have
toys.
Have you tried the Sibian? I mean, there's so many experiments.
Well,
that you
I mean,
can do.
That's like $1,500.
No, right, of course, but you could go into certain places wearing your clothes and still get off. Not that most people want to do that. I'm just saying. So, yeah, if you've tried tons of toys, I mean, maybe it's just changing up where you masturbate, what time of day you masturbate, how long you give yourself. Maybe if
cars.
Cars. Oh my God. Motorcycles, vibration. If you know somebody who has a motorcycle, just take a half hour ride and practice squeezing and releasing your PC muscles. Play with your Kegel muscles. I think that I don't think necessarily everyone needs to change it up if it's working for them, but be open to experimenting, open to masturbating with your partner, open to masturbating in a new place at a new time, open to, you know what I love? Like, people, I'm an exhibitionist in terms of talking and whatever, but I'm not an exhibitionist in terms of having sex with lots of people or in lots of public places. But if you take your partner to, like, a sexy party in a city, if you're in a big city, or you take your partner to, like just a fun place where maybe you don't even know anyone, you go away on vacation for a night and go to a sex club there, just be with your partner or masturbate in front of people. Don't let anyone touch you. But trust me, the energy in that situation is going to bring you guys to a closer place if you just keep it within your group.
Really? So, all right. Well, give me an example of a couple of good toys to start out with for the beginner.
For the beginner. Okay. Mm. A pocket rocket. Very inexpensive. There's lots of different
brands. Not too strong, you don't think?
You know, I look at it like this. Yes, it's a one speed, but if you put an old battery in it, it's a less speed. So you can play with the batteries that you put in your vibrator.
Never thought of that.
Or a slimline, like any of those hard plastic long vibrators that have mutuals, that have various speeds, that could work better. I love hard plastic. I love it on my clitoris. That's where I would start for somebody. And again, I wouldn't spend too much money, because until you know what you like, all vibrators will break. There's the downer. It doesn't matter how much you paid for it. 2-3 years of life, if you get that out of your vibrator.
I don't know. We've had an Eroscillator for 8 years.
With the exception of the Eroscillator, I was going to say, because I abuse my Eroscillator, and it's the best vibrator I've ever owned. But I don't know that I have $250 to get the pillow.
Well, right. Yeah. Right.
So, you know, I mean, just understand that a $25 vibrator will break over time, but so will the $200 vibrator that's not the Eroscillator.
And well, you know, that's why Fred and Eddie started, was because we had a vibrator break, and it forced us to go get another one. That's the whole thing.
But it's great because it allows you to change up. I mean, honestly, I've been masturbating with a vibrator now for over 13, 14 years. And I would say that if I wasn't using the Eroscillator, I'd probably just be using a pocket rocker. It's really, really, there's so many different ones out there, and they're just so simple. So that would be the first choice in a vibrator for me, for someone. Or like, if you have $50, maybe the Leia spot if you want something pretty and a little softer. But you know, that's just a personal preference.
Like, I have to ask you a question about that then.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. When you first started masturbating, did you think that over these years, the 14 years, that you've changed and you needed more speed and more power?
No, I started with a slimline.
Really?
Yeah, I started with a slimline. I had my first orgasm. I went, oh my God, that's what an orgasm is. Duh. Okay, I get it now. Called all my friends and were like, did you ever have an orgasm? Because now I know what an orgasm feels like. I can share it with you. No, I haven't changed.
Wow. See, I
told you I'm boring.
On the personal level,
toward the highest setting on that Eroscillator.
So I have to. It's like I would start off with something slow, something like a Fukuyoku or something like that, which is
small
a watch battery.
Right.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. So those, and then I worked up to now, like I have to have the Eroscillator at, you know, not even the highest speed, but still higher because I.
That brings up a good question, because a lot of people ask me, if you use a vibrator for too long, are you desensitized? Can you never have sex the same way again? And I don't know, maybe this doesn't work for you, but I always suggest that people stop using the vibrator. I go back to my hands when I think that I'm not having enough connective sex with myself.
Right.
And I can masturbate and orgasm. It just takes a lot longer.
Yes.
And now, like, in my own personal life, like, for a long time with partners, I only used sex toys. And now I'm not using sex toys with partners, and I'm still having orgasms because I'm retraining my body. Mm-hmm. So I think that, yes, you're on the highest setting, but if you went back to the Fukuyoko and didn't have the Eroscillator for a while and you just allowed yourself to have the hour and a half it might take you, you know,
right.
And I'm not even exaggerating. Like, that could be totally normal, and that's totally normal.
Yeah, exactly.
You've masturbated for an hour and a half?
I've masturbated for up to, I would say, 65 minutes. Because the first time I wanted to have a G-spot orgasm, I only wanted to feel it. I want to understand it was coming from my G-spot, and I didn't want to feel like the vibrator was helping me, so I only used fingers and a curved acrylic S-wand, and it took me a long time, and for 2 days I couldn't use my right hand.
Well,
but it was worth figuring it out.
Speaking of the elusive G-spot orgasm, I know that when Alicia had her first G-spot orgasm, she came running in with the wet towel to show me, and I was like, thank you. I appreciate that
evidence. Well, that was a female ejaculation, because I was practicing, trying to figure it out, because I said, when I tell women, it's like, people, it's a pony trick. When it first became, like, I'd say about 2 or 3 years ago, when it was the big thing, it's like, oh, female ejaculation, this, and women were freaking out because they were stressing themselves out because they couldn't do it. I go,
first Jamie,
of all,
can all women experience a female ejaculative orgasm or no?
Well, I don't know about the orgasm part, but all women can ejaculate. I'm positive that even the dribble on the bed is female ejaculation.
Right.
There's a website that I have sent a lot of people to for female ejaculation stuff that really works, and she believes everyone can do it. And there's video on there. It's called jennyspray.com, and it's Joe Weldon, who's a really amazing female in New York, positive sex activist. She just gives these amazing step-by-step instructions that have helped a lot of people. So I'd say, yes, everyone can learn to do it, but there isn't really – I mean, when I do it too, and I like doing it because if I'm with a partner, it visually excites them. Sometimes it's an orgasm, and sometimes it's a, oops, I just kind of sprayed you. Ha ha ha. Let's keep having sex now. We're doing what we're doing. So it just depends on the time. But I think all women can experience some form of ejaculation. It just not might not hit the eye of your partner like some ejaculation can.
Okay, so give us a little bit of a rundown on where we can find the book. We can get it on Amazon.com, right? We
get it on Amazon, and you can go
carry it on
my
Freddie and Eddie.
Freddie and Eddie, and I have a link to one site, but I'm on at jamiewaxman.com.
That's, by the way, for all of you listening, it's not Jamie in the way you would think it's spelled. It's J-A-M-Y-E. Waxman.com.
But if you spell it wrong, you'll get there.
Will you really?
Yeah, I bought J.
Oh, you got the other spelling?
J-A-Y-M-E, because no one spells my name the way.
Okay, well, forget what I just said.
No, don't forget
it. Spell
it
however you want.
Remember that, but spell it. But if you spell it wrong, don't worry.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with our product segment where we review products from the past couple weeks. And Jamie's going to have a couple of good products to share with you. And we've got a competitor to the infamous Fascinator that we love so much. So we'll be looking forward to discussing that. From behind our white picket fence, this is the Freddie and Eddie Podcast. Back from behind our white picket fence, the Freddie and Eddie Podcast with our special guest, Jamie Waxman. And it is now that time for our famous product reviews, where we try to pick out the sexiest things for your very great pleasure to get you off and get you on. Jamie, what do you have for us this week?
Well, Ian, thanks for asking. I think because the topic of masturbation has broadened the era, podcast has... What is what we talked about all week. Yeah, that's what I want to say. I'm going to pick a website, beautifulagony.com. In this website, you don't know if the people are masturbating or how they're getting off, but all you see is their faces as they do it. And so it leaves a lot to the imagination. And it also goes to show you that being sexy and sexual doesn't have to be always super explicit. So beautifulagony.com. If you want to sign up through my website, I get an affiliate link, jamiewaxman.com, but whatever, beautifulagony.com. Great place to watch people's faces as most of them bring themselves
so
to orgasm.
Well, how do they take these videos?
Well, they can either, I think actually the company's out of Australia, and they either videotape themselves and send it in, or they can have a friend videotape them, but it's always from like basically the chest up. You don't really see much except the expressions as they're playing with themselves.
You see breasts?
I don't think most, maybe some people go naked, but not all. No.
So you're seeing them as they orgasm.
You're seeing their facial expression as they, as they masturbate and bring themselves.
Oh, the whole thing.
The whole thing. Like it could go for a long time. So it's awesome. Beautifulagony.com, and it leaves a lot to the imagination, but also provides a lot for the imagination.
Hey, sexy wifey poo, would you go for something like that?
Go what?
Let me film just your face as you get off?
Maybe.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's just part of it, you know, which is lovely. I like the idea that you can see all the different expressions and the emotions that somebody goes through.
It's one of my favorite parts actually of sex is watching the person's face while I'm pleasing them anyway. So just having that sort of voyeuristic, exhibitionistic sort of feel, beautiful agony. It's just really tastefully done, and
are you
I love
on
it.
There?
No, I'm not actually. I'm not yet. and then if I could, you say it's two things you pick, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. So I love my favorite non-vibrating sex toys, the Pure Wand. You can use it as a Kegel exerciser to exercise your pelvic floor muscles. You can use it to hit the G-spot, and you can use it in with some sort of clitoral stimulation. It's really, as far as non-vibrating toys go, the only one I think every person who enjoys some sort of internal stimulation, male and female, should use. So it's a great tool for masturbation.
The Pure Wand by Enjoy.
Pure Wand by Enjoy. Oh,
N-J-O-Y
yep.
is the company that makes it. They make a whole line of metal objects, don't they?
They do, and it's stainless steel. And since Christmas is sort of coming up, or Hanukkah, or I don't know, do you get gifts for Kwanzaa? But since these are all about to come up, it's a little on the higher price tag line, but the more expensive line, but well worth, you will never need another.
We sell it on freddyandeddie.com, so if anyone's interested in
really
the Pure
beautiful.
Wand, you can see our review on our website.
Yep.
So the Pure Wand and
beautifulagony.com.
And I'm going to put my wife to the test on Beautiful Agony, and I'm going to take out a camera right after you leave tomorrow, Jamie.
Woo-hoo.
And see if I can actually get that facial expression.
I think you should do it right after I leave today, Ian.
You think?
Because I'm going out of the house for a few hours now.
Trust me, I'm all over that. Sort of up for that?
The possibility.
And what do? You just submit it to the website?
Yeah, you should go on. It'll tell you what you need to submit and what you need to, you know, what all the specifications are.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, that's a turn on just thinking about doing it.
This is great. Look, you don't even have to go to beautifulagony.com for it to work. Look at this.
I'm like very intrigued. I'm like sort of like having to turn away from you guys.
Happy
right
to
now
help.
As I think about this.
That's, happy to help.
Wow. Okay. Well, I've got two picks of my own before we finish up with my wife's picks. I'm going to pick two books, and I'm going to cheat on one and recommend Jamie Waxman's book, Getting Off, A Woman's Guide to Masturbation by Jamie Waxman, with a foreword by Betty Dodson, and it's got illustrations by Molly Crabapple, or Crabapple if you're a Simpsons fan. It is a great book. If there's one thing I can say about Jamie, who I've followed for years now, she has a wonderful writing style. Very fun is a good way to describe her tone. And she really gets to the heart of the information without seeming preachy or too overbearingly professorial, I guess you'd say. So you will get just about everything you need to know about masturbation, female that is, from reading her book. It's totally amazing. And I cannot recommend it enough. It retails for $14.95. You can find it on our website or on Amazon, probably cheaper, but we know you'd rather support us, so you'll probably buy it from us for $14.95, right? The second book that I would recommend is a little bit more preachy and a little bit more sort of esoteric and philosophical, and it's called For Yourself, The Fulfillment of Female Sexuality, by Lonnie Barback. And this book's been around for a while. It's actually been out for probably
since the
70s. And it's undergone some updates and revisions and stuff in between that. And then there's a companion book called For Each Other, which sort of takes a lot of the concepts of For Yourself and puts it into the framework of a relationship. But For Yourself really gets to the heart of sexuality and sensuality, especially female, and it kind of makes a philosophical argument for why you should love yourself and practice masturbation for yourself, for nobody else but yourself. And so that is my pick. And Alicia, how would you like to finish up our product review section? What do you have for us?
Okay, well, I think that to go along with this topic, that there are vibrators that are really a nice additive touch to it. And I would have to pick one, which is by Bee Swish, and the line of Bee Swish, that is. It's called the Bee Naughty. And it is a small vibe, so it's pretty petite, but you can use this vibe internal and external. And so you could actually use it with, if you're playing with the Pure Wand, you can actually add it and be an assistant to the G-spot, be a clitoral one. So it's kind of fun. It has different levels of intensities because it lets you go low to high. So depending on where you're at with and how sensitive that you are.
So the Bee Naughty is like an egg.
Yep, it's a little egg style.
And it's waterproof too.
Yep. So it's a really fun little one on there. And then I want to also bring in another new topic, or not topic, excuse me, a new product that we just tried, which is called the Love Mat. And it actually is a competitor to our infamous Liberator Fascinator.
And Love Mat is L-U-V Mat, M-A-T.
And it is, once again, a waterproof blanket. So they come actually with two different sizes. One, it's a 3x5, and then they're also a travel one. And I like the travel one right now because it's just small. It's not.
How big is that?
It's not intrusive. I'm not. I'm sorry. I don't remember what the size on that of the small one is.
It's larger than a small cat.
How's that?
But smaller than a large one. No, I'm joking. It is not smaller than a large cat. It's larger. See, it's smaller than a Brontosaurus.
Okay, that works. And it has a long, it's a shag also.
The Love Mat Travel is 28 inches by 36 inches.
So I was in the right frame, right? Larger than a small cat, smaller than a Brontosaurus.
Exactly. So check that out. We always like to check out some new products and compare them, and it works. So there you go.
Yeah, you've actually female ejaculated on it, and the bed was nice and clean afterwards.
And dry.
And did you use the Pure One? Because that helps with female ejaculation for a lot of women. I'm serious.
You're right. I have to do it. But the thing is, that's another topic that we could go on and on with. But I have to use an additional clit because I'm a clit girl.
Yeah, but the Pure One is great for
it. Yep,
yeah.
It finds it. It does find it. People say, I can't find that G-spot. I'm like, this will find it because it hooks right onto it.
Yeah, absolutely. So that will conclude this week's edition of Behind Our White Picket Fence. We'd love to thank our guest, Jamie Waxman.
Yay!
For coming in and talking about female masturbation. Ladies, please do it. Men, read her. I'll tell you what. Let me just finish up with another plug for Jamie. Men, you should read her book because you will gain more insight into female sexuality by reading Jamie's book than you could in practically any other place. She will give you the keys to how to actually take some of those principles and get your partner off. So it's like a double thing. It's not just written for women. I enjoyed reading it immensely, and I've read about 1,000 of these sexuality books, and most of them are forgettable at best. But Jamie's book is fantastic. So gentlemen, get it for her. And just pretend that it's for her and read it in secret if you have to.
Meanwhile, we're getting ready to have some classes and seminars with Jamie coming in October.
Yeah, if you're in the LA area, she has moved.
Woo-hoo!
She has been enlightened, some would say. We would say that.
She's grabbed her. Area.
She is now moving to Los Angeles, where she's always belonged. She was faking it in New York for 30-some years. And is now in her rightful place, where she should be educating the sexually enlightened of Los Angeles. And she's going to be integrating as part of the big Burning Man community out here, because we're all fantastic. And you can take classes from her. So she'll be posting a lot of that at jamiewaxman.com. Again, it's jamiewaxman.com. Although she did register the other spelling in case you get it wrong. And she is great. So please visit her website. Visit our website
for more information.
And we look forward to seeing you next week on our next podcast from Behind Our White Picket Fence. Thank you for listening.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.